Dark wings.
Dork words.
A Game of Thrones podcast.
Season 5, Episode 7.
The Gift.
Welcome back, one and all. I'm your host, Chuck Davis, and with me this week are...
Craig McCauley.
Mike Hergert.
Chris Voorhees.
And Courvoisier.
You're really chugging that.
This is a big episode for Sam. Sam the Slayer. Slaying that pussy. As only he can. Oh, wait, my mom listens to this show now.
No. Are you sure?
Craig will clean that up.
Bleep me.
Slaying that bleep. She'll figure it out.
Yeah, slaying that White Walker.
Yeah, all right. So Sam had a moment. A couple moments. Three.
Yeah, let's talk about Sam's three big moments.
He
Wait, three big moments?
Well, one was...
he got off three times.
In that scene.
That's impressive.
In that second.
Between the point of insertion and the point of saying, oh my, or whatever it was.
That's what I always say.
So, yeah, oh my. But what's the point of that scene? Tie that in for me. I felt like there were a lot of...
Come on, keep your thing going. I'm bitching about this series and hating this show more
this
than anything.
Show.
Well, I mean, he does...
On a roll.
He does... Bang Gilly in the book.
Gilly Flower, as Maester Aemon referred to her affectionately.
Everything's just moved from a boat to Castle Black, basically.
Yeah, like, exactly. Exactly. The death of Maester Aemon and the deflowering of
who joked that they
Sam the Slayer.
Stuffed Maester Aemon in a barrel after the funeral.
Yeah.
He had a much less momentous send off
right
in the books because he was far from home and only Sam was there to
take care of him. Yeah,
that's right. Weren't they in Braavos when Maester Aemon died in the books?
They were at sea,
or were they at sea? Okay,
they had left Braavos and they were headed to Old Town.
Oh, gotcha.
He was feverish for a time, and as in this episode, sort of remembering his childhood, but sort of feverishly speaking to his former family members and
Eggy.
But he was in the books. I recall him sort of being overwrought with the idea of Daenerys and what it meant that dragons had returned to the world, and he felt like he had things to do and places to go, and he was wishing that he
was like 20 years younger or something, where he could, like, he knew at one point that he's like, yeah, I'm gonna die, but it's like, oh, I wish I could be around for all this, because it would have been nice.
He was trying to prepare Sam to carry on his legacy somewhat, which I guess, as far as the show's concerned, he sort of conveyed that idea a little bit. But yeah, so Sam, the I guess the first big moment for Sam was saying some kind words in his memory, and they gave him a good send off, and then he got to fight for his woman.
Yep.
After Sir Alistair sort of menacingly tells him that all of his friends are disappearing.
What a dick.
At least he still has a good wolf friend who's just happened to be chilling in the long haul.
Yeah, Ghost is, I think, a little more protection than Maester Aemon.
Right.
For yeah. Sam. Not sure what...
Ghost's a good friend to have.
Yes.
So Sam...
Is that Ghost's first appearance of the season?
No, he was been in the laying around
background.
Was okay.
But I
hadn't been
him.
Around much. Totally forgot about him.
Which is unfortunate. I think those wolves should be front and center as much as possible.
No kidding.
It's disappointing that they're...
Well, and isn't Ghost the only one alive? I suppose Shaggy Dog's out there.
Shaggy Dog's out there.
Nymeria's still out there.
On the loose, but they haven't even referenced that in the show.
In a few seasons. There was howling in the distance.
Right.
When in the Lannister war camp outside of River Run.
But in the book, like, Arya kind of has some dreams where she's in a wolf's body. So
I feel like right, and Nymeria's leading a pack, right. A big pack of wolves that are attacking various combatants in the Riverlands.
Arya was doing some warging, unbeknownst to her or anyone else. But that didn't happen on the show.
No.
Doing some warging. Warging.
She's just doing it in her free time for extra money.
Yep. gotta pay the bills. That's like a $20 an hour job.
Wow, it's good money.
It is. Especially, well, I should...
Is it kind of like being a drone pilot? So the point of it is just to cement the, I don't know, the realness of Sam and Gilly's relationship, I guess. You know, and he stood up for her, and she appreciated that.
Doesn't any time anyone have sex on the show, the woman ends up pregnant, so Gilly's probably pregnant now.
Does that mean the Mother of Dragons is carrying Dario's child? No, she's barren.
Oh, that's right. After the dragon sitch.
Yeah.
Right.
And then she lays an egg.
She's a true Mother of Dragons. She has to sit on it for a couple months to keep it warm.
I kind of appreciate that Danny and Dario's relationship is less sickening on the show than it was in the books. Like, she spent a lot of time just sort of swooning over him.
In the books?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is true.
Swooning over his purple oily beard or whatever.
And his gold tooth.
Right.
But they're definitely boyfriend-girlfriend now. I mean, this is the first time we've seen her be really kind of...
They appear to have a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
A little playful pillow talk.
She's not going to let a marriage get in the way of that.
Hey, baby, you should round up a bunch of people and just slaughter them. That would be so hot. That's what I'm into.
That is what he's into.
So Marine, then they made it all the way to Marine fairly rapidly, and somebody said during the fighting scene that was not the pit.
They just,
I hope not, because that was pretty underwhelming.
His star was just describing to her how customary it was to do the tour of the lower pits before the tournament of champions in the big pit or whatever.
Right.
So this was the lower pit, huh?
Right.
The preliminary slaughter.
Ser Jorah and Tyrion face to face with Daenerys. That didn't really even happen in the book.
I think probably it'll eventually happen in the books, because maybe that's...
Yeah, because Tyrion, you know, dragon rider.
So that hasn't happened yet in the books.
No.
Give us the you know, Cliff's Notes version of what led those two to the point where they're in Marine.
They get captured by the slavers. That does happen. And then they get bought by like a Yunkish lord or whatever. And he's, well, because there's the other dwarf who was at Joffrey's wedding.
Penny. Penny the Pig Rider.
She's along, and that's not going to be in this at all, so I shouldn't even mention it. But they basically get bought, and then they go over to like the Second Sons or the Gold, or Second Sons, I think, in... They're basically outside the walls of Marine when the last book ends.
Just like,
and then kind of waiting for battle to come, basically.
Had Jorah joined one of the sellsword groups, or was he enslaved as well?
They were both enslaved. They were
both enslaved.
And it was interesting in the show tonight, like, so they have the whole story built up about Ser Jorah is like this great knight. But in the book, basically, the guy wants... You know, Tyrion and the other dwarf for like his entertainment, and he feels like sorry for Jorah to.
Oh yeah,
he's like, oh, you have to take this guy too because he's like part of her act. And it was pretty much like the opposite tonight.
Right,
like
it was reversed.
Dora's like, Tyrion had built him up, and then he's like, oh, but I've got to kind of get myself to go along with this too. It's like, you got to take me. You know, I'm part of, I'm a good warrior too, so.
And Mr. Echo lost all pretense of saving him for the cock merchant. He kind of let him go for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
So why did the guy feel obligated to buy Tyrion anyway? Because he whipped the
plot
dude to death with exactly. It was sort of.
I mean, they really didn't try very hard.
Yeah,
no. They just needed some excuse.
That would have been a great time for Tyrion to say a cock joke. Like, don't you want my magic cock? You know, that's exactly what he does. Say shit like that.
Whipped out the measuring tape right there.
He should have killed the guy he was beating with the chain with his cock.
I thought he was going to, after he walked off, like, slip that guy he was beating with a chain like a couple gold. Like, hey, thanks, man. Thanks for letting me.
It made me look like a great warrior.
Right.
Doesn't seem like a slave on the block should be able to beat his slave master and just have everybody laugh about
Ooh,
it.
But, that was pretty impressive.
Oh, funny. It's a dwarf doing that, but okay. Whatever. You guys want to go to Marine just to move the plot forward? I'm with you.
We're there next day. Boom. In the fighting pits.
Yeah. I liked Jorah's sort of resolve as he was sort of gearing up for his combat. You know, some deep breaths, some deep thoughts.
Did you like the fact that he didn't mortally wound anyone?
It was a play for Daenerys' attention. I mean, I don't think he would have
doomed to failure, though. I mean, where's the motivation there? Did he really think Daenerys is gonna?
What else is he gonna do?
He should have had a better speech ready, or
but
something.
That's what I'm. I kind of was expecting there to be some sort of serious offering from Jorah to Daenerys, like he has something more to than just beating up a few slaves.
Well,
how's that going to impress her?
Well, it was just an opportunity to have
his face.
A little discourse with her and say, I brought you something.
Yeah.
But
well,
it was,
he needed a moment. He had something to tell her, but he never got. So instead they tried
to tell her
Tyrion
the thing.
Out. And he's the gift, but why is he a gift to her? What does she care about?
Well, because she...
Some Lannister dwarf.
We'll hear that next week, I think, because we saw them back in Daenerys' chambers. You know, her audience chamber, that they can explain themselves there.
Yeah.
Well, he's part of the usurper chain. Like, you know, he's a motherfucker, and Daenerys would definitely want to kill him or have words with him or exile him or...
Well, he's valuable for ransom or...
Well, that too, but...
Something or, you know, or just knowledge. Yeah, it's worth holding on to Tyrion.
Especially because he basically hates the rest of his family now.
She doesn't know that.
Yeah, but I feel like he's going to tell her that. Like, oh.
She doesn't necessarily have to believe
She might
him.
Not believe it, yeah.
Except
yeah,
for true. The fact that she found them in the lower pits, so she
Is Varys going to pop out suddenly and start saying,
No.
Hey, this is the guy. This guy can help you.
This was my idea. I'm the guy.
Yeah.
He might. He won't.
But I think we've seen the last of him for a while.
That's what he wants you to think.
He's just whispering little bird's ears.
And, well, let's just jump cut to Cersei getting her long-awaited comeuppance.
Yeah.
That's...
That's just the beginning, though.
Yeah. When that happened in the book, I was like, yes! Like, fuck that bitch.
I think they did it well. Do you?
I do, too. I feel like they sped up the sort of establishing background of who are the Faith Militant and the nature of what they were up to and all that. But, I mean, it sort of got paid off in this episode in that scene with the High Sparrow in the old sept.
Right.
And Lancel's. And so they basically revealed that he's been, like, holding Lancel in reserve for just the right moment. And everything that he did to Margaery and Loras was a play to lure her into a position of weakness.
And was any of that spurred on by...
So he was waiting for her to be alone? To
nab her.
To nab her?
I feel like he was.
And it was spurred on by the conversation between Lady Elena and
Well, yeah, the conversation between Olenna and Littlefinger, Littlefinger is kind of like,
he's
I know
the boy that they're referring to, I'm thinking.
That's right, but I don't understand how that plays into it, because I feel like
Lance already told all that shit, like, a while ago.
Lancel's entry into the Faith Militant...
That's when that happened.
Told the High Sparrow everything he needed to know to gun for Cersei, but he played it cool and didn't... we're first introduced to the Faith Militant by Lancel's appearance at that one reception or something.
You need to atone for all your sins.
Well,
clearly you can be forgiven in this religion, because Lancel said all the stuff he did, you know.
Right.
And
he unburdened himself.
Right, but do you have to also pledge allegiance and swear everything and say 10,000 Hail Marys and...
Hail Mothers,
yeah. Because he got off the hook, but I think you can only get off the hook maybe by joining and being devout and proving it. Because otherwise, why couldn't Cersei just say, you know what,
if she wanted to become a silent sister,
right? Totally,
she would be.
Couldn't
forgived.
She just get out of the cell that way? And
that'll never happen.
No, but
we know.
I want to understand how things work.
Some of the things on the show make sense, like they play out in a logical way. Some of them are just to expedite, to catch up to where things need to line up with the books. Some of it's just illogical completely, but. whatever. I mean, we're going with it. It's moving forward. It's not deviating too far in the places where it matters. So it's cool. I mean, yeah, this Cersei ends up in the cell. Margaery ends up in a cell. Lancel never did.
No.
But maybe...
you mean...
Now that they have Cersei...
Not Lancel, but Loras.
Loras. Thank you.
And was Margaery was released... Before Cersei was taken in the books, or are they both?
I don't remember. I think she's maybe still...
She might.
And you're right, Loras never is taken by the... And they don't really play up the incest thing either. I mean, in the books there was, sort of the scuttlebutt around town was her and Jaime had an incestuous relationship because of Stannis' letter that got distributed. Which I suppose that happened in the show as well. But
right.
I haven't talked about it recently.
Speaking of that topic, kind of, Sansa
Bruce
was pretty mouthy to Ramsay. Or pretty, not mouthy, but pretty risky.
The whole bastard
calling him out.
I'm just constantly disappointed in the complete lack of intrigue as far as Sansa's character is concerned. She's supposed to be becoming savvy at subterfuge, like, you know, as Littlefinger's protege. But she's totally not. She's right.
Even when she shows some backbone, she kind of shows it at exactly the wrong time.
Reek
she's
is
not
the
really
last
doing
person
herself
she
any
should
good.
Trust in. You know, even though I guess it
she did pick up a little note off a table.
Was that a note or was it some sort of implement of
stabbing?
Yeah,
I thought she was gonna.
It was like a rolled scroll.
Mm. They weren't very clear on that.
Yeah.
Well,
I thought it was a corkscrew.
I thought it was too.
Really? I think it was
a corkscrew.
The corkscrew. No, we're gonna have to go back and watch this episode.
Some sort of T-shaped sharp implement that she might, you know, insert into a jugular.
Stab a motherfucker with, please. Soon.
Yeah.
You know, there aren't a whole lot of characters left that I don't want to see die. Let's get this on already.
There's going to be a climactic fucking meetup in Winterfell in episode 9, I bet, that I don't even know what's going to happen, but it's going to be awesome.
Stannis?
Ramsay and Stannis?
Stannis is going to press forward. He's going to take more kind of...
Collateral losses.
You know, and what's with his army? They're already starving and freezing. I mean, they've been on the road for about 4 days.
Yeah,
what the hell?
Well, because it's snowing.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Minnesotans everywhere are laughing.
Right, yeah. Exactly. It's freaking southern.
Wait, Minnesotans everywhere?
Pussies.
Minnesotans in Minnesota.
They lost the Storm Crows, though.
Yeah, which men. Which we didn't even know they had.
Yeah.
So we give the shit.
Thank you.
The point is, things are rough. Okay.
What about the whole Melisandre wants...
I have a problem with that. I have a problem.
Wants him to sacrifice
Here's my problem. The now really obvious 5 minutes in one episode where Stannis bonded with Shireen now that
all
she's on the block.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, come on.
Well, Stannis isn't down with that, though.
But we
not now.
We've never seen Stannis give a shit about his daughter until that episode, or that scene of that episode.
Right. He almost hugged her.
For the
he
first
did
time.
Hug her after,
he,
like,
he kinda, reluctantly.
He patted
he
her
He let
bit.
Her hug him.
Like, oh, that's just, don't get your grayscale on me, but...
Are your hands covered up?
Yes.
No, she's inert.
Yeah, that was all. That was all contrived to create the dispute or the...
Oh shit! What about Jorah's grayscale?
We didn't see it today.
Totally, just
he should have run around the pit just like rubbing his wrist on people. Cooties, I gotcha. Ew!
So it's a long farewell.
A long farewell. So, that was a highly enjoyable scene.
Okay, another. So what was the point of that scene?
Tits.
Yeah, I feel like that was a reason just
there
to
were,
show
that was the upside to the scene.
There were 2 points to that for scene, sure. And they were nipples.
2 pointies to that scene. And so, no, seriously, though, why? Why?
I feel like they're going to try and use Bronn against Jaime or something somehow.
There was that Knight of the Kingsguard who was having something with one of the Sand Snakes in the books, right?
Yeah. Correct.
Yep.
So
yeah.
Is that the only reason we have to have a bit of sexual intrigue with the Sand Snake? So, Bronn.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. That's the point.
Maybe
that's worth 5 minutes of screen time.
If it leads to something, if it leads to Bronn being like in the thrall of the hot Sand Snake or the hot the hottest Sand Snake.
Yeah,
because they're all lovely.
And then there's the whole...
I'm not going to have much respect for Bronn if he's swayed by a couple of titties while in prison.
But
she saved my life.
The antidote goes a long way towards earning a little loyalty.
Right. Why?
Because...
She poisoned him in the first place.
And, well, she let him know. And she thought he had a good voice, and she clapped.
She said thank you.
He does have an awful good voice.
Did you know he was in an 80s band?
Did you know that they charted like 5 times?
Oh, just in the UK?
Yes. And that it's a fucking doo-wop band?
Yeah.
Bronn?
Look it up online.
He's got like a mullet, doesn't
it
he,
is
in the photo?
Nice. Hilarious. It's unbelievable.
I will Google that.
Man.
That's why he has such a good voice, though. That's
how he bagged Lena Headey back in 2003.
Oh, there
with
you go.
His sweet.
Is he married to her?
No. They hate each other.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Bad breakup.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Tell them we'll be quick, but...
Well, you didn't listen to the podcast last week.
Oh.
Chuck said that Joffrey, the guy who plays him...
That's her
him,
son?
Yeah. What? No. Listen to me. The guy who plays Joffrey said on set, like, to some interviewer, like, those two cannot be on set at the same time. They'll
like, kill each other.
They'll kill each other, yeah.
Interesting.
So, and Myrcilla is aging by the episode. Does she not look like 3 years older than she did last week? Or is it implied that she's been in Dorne for years?
She's probably 3 years older than
it was explicitly stated this
episode. Yeah. That she'd been there for years?
She said, I've lived here for years. You don't know anything about me.
She
said years.
Yeah.
This is my home. She said, this is my home.
She's probably 3 years older than she was the last time we saw her face,
which
was only like one episode or twice.
Oh,
maybe.
Much time has passed?
Here's another interesting...
In this show?
Maybe it's not the same person.
Nothing has happened? She's been there for years, and there hasn't been a war or a battle or
it's a little iffy.
Anything?
If you line up like Gilly's baby... Gilly had a baby when they were at Craster's Keep. And she still has a baby.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. That's
It's still half a year old.
Well, you know. Maybe.
Well, you know, winters last for years.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So do the, you know.
Kids stop growing during the winter.
You're a teenager for 20 years.
Oh. Awesome.
So I just read something else that the actor that's playing Tommen now played one of Kevin Lannister's
yeah.
sons? Is that right? No.
It was Martin played right.
He played one of the Lannisters that Karstark killed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So he got another job?
You mean he played him on this show?
Yeah. In like one episode.
But he was just so much younger that you can't tell it's the same guy. I mean, they recast him?
I didn't recognize him.
No.
Tommen was meant to age.
You're already hanging around. You might as well just play Tommen now.
Yeah. We like you better than the old Tommen. You're the new Tommen.
I thought he did very well this episode.
He did great.
Yeah.
Actually, that was a good scene that Tommen and Cersei scene. Cersei, as much as I hate her, you know, she was emoting appropriately. I don't know.
Who's your mouth?
She was, you know, emotions were playing across her face when Tommen professed his love for Marjorie.
And there was emotional music.
Mm. It makes a difference.
I'll buy the soundtrack.
Who are your two most hated characters in the books / show, and who do you like the best?
The Mountain is a monster, so he's the worst. And, well, I mean, like, Vargo Hoat was pretty bad. Okay. You know, fuck. I mean, but Ramsay.
Ramsay or Joffrey?
Ramsay and Tommen.
Who's worse?
Ramsay and Tommen.
Ramsay's the worst.
Not Joffrey.
Sorry, fuck.
Yeah, Joffrey.
Edit.
So Cersei's not in your top two?
Oh, she's bad too. Ooh.
Yeah, it's really hard to narrow down the field on that one.
Because I love Lena Headey. I end up liking Cersei more on the show.
But than you did in the book.
I hated Cersei so bad in the books. And I mean, you know, the Mountain is just a monster.
What do you mean you love her?
I mean, I'd love to meet her and, you know.
And greet her?
Yes, she was great in 300.
Yes, indeed. Quite so. But yeah, obviously, Joffrey and Ramsay are the worst humans imagined. Right?
I would agree with that.
Joffrey was never old enough to, I don't want to say be held accountable. Of course he could be. But he still was just like a 15-year-old or something, or a 14-year-old.
It was a monstrous 15 or 14-year-old.
They don't get any better.
He was far more monstrous in the show than in the book.
You think?
Really?
No.
I don't think
he had more time to do more bad shit in the books.
I mean, he was sort of just a punk on the show. I don't know. He was pretty. There was the what he did to the Littlefinger's
the prostitutes.
Whore.
Was it Ross?
I mean, in the book, I always felt like he was, you know, petulant but not dangerous.
I mean, he was ordering his Kingsguard to beat Sansa on a daily basis,
right? But I mean, in the show, he was sort of actively killing people. Yeah.
There's a lot of loathsome characters.
There are.
How about the good ones, since you brought it up?
All right, who's your favorite two?
There's only one left.
You only like one left?
Jon Snow.
Jon Snow is your boy?
I think so.
What about Arya. Sammy?
What about Davos? Come on. How about Davos?
Davos did not give good counsel this week.
Davos got shot down after like 30 seconds. He's like, okay.
Well, I'm just gonna leave. So he gave bad counsel once. Sorry.
Why didn't he give good counsel? I thought he gave good counsel.
He's always like telling. I mean, he was all gung ho to let's go
back to
Winterfell. Let's do some shit. And then once it starts snowing, he's like, wait. let's just winter at the Black Keep.
Have you looked outside?
Yeah. Well, I guess I didn't remember that. Was he was counseling to move forward with the?
I feel like
attack on Winterfell last week, and now all of a sudden he's...
Twice.
It could be, man. Game of Drones.
Well, he wasn't counseling Stannis on the best play. I mean, Stannis is right. It's now or never. And all of a sudden... And he's always been like, let's do stuff, let's move forward, let's get shit done. And now, you know, let's be positive. Let's get you to be king.
So again, it was a plot contrivance. They had to demonstrate that... The army is suffering, and that Stannis is forcing them to push forward, and they didn't really have another character. It was all about the bring in that could give counsel like that. Davos is the only
character
in that whole little subset of the show that could reasonably be expected to tell Stannis something he doesn't want to
hear. Davos has never told Stannis, let's do this, and Stannis is like, all right.
Yeah, he always gets shot down. He's always
begging your pardon, my grace. Right. You know, always begging his fucking pardon, because Stannis never wants to do what he says, ever.
Yeah. He's always taking that bitchy red priestess's side.
Don't kill your daughter. Oh. Well, I'll do the opposite.
Is this the first scene where we've seen Stannis kind of show familiarity with Melisandre?
Where he kind of grabs her around the waist?
No, he banged her on the map table. Oh,
right. Right.
Did you forget that?
I did forget that.
Yeah.
Craig never forgets. That was how screen background.
Renly got killed by Stannis' shadow that she birthed out of the boat.
Apparently that's a one-time deal, like one shadow baby per lover.
I thought she was trying... Oh, you think?
She's
per
real?
Lover?
I don't know.
So that's why she was trying to get
Jon
Snow.
Pants. Yeah.
Why is she so... why is she pulling back so much with Stannis? It's purely just tactical. Any physical contact with him was tactical and not
practical.
Real, not practical.
She.
Are you saying you think she doesn't really love him?
Well...
I think she knows she overplayed her hand. Like, hey, you know what? Let's kill your daughter. That's a pretty rough proposition.
She could have softened him up a bit by banging him. You know, made him.
Well, that would make him harder.
She was game. She was game for that, but he rebuffed her advances. Tormund was cool.
Tormund and Jon.
Good stuff. I mean, not moment. It was just all sort of laying the foundation for shit to happen next week at Hardhome.
And what? And then also with the Sir Alistair kind of, let me give you this advice.
Paying lip service. He's right. Like, let me tell you something I know you'll ignore, so you think that I'm on your side, kind of, but I'm going to turn this whole fucking Black Keep against you while you're north of the wall. You're going to come home and get, you know, killed.
Uh-oh.
It might not happen. It can't happen. John's a...
Well, no.
Fan favorite.
Fuck that. I mean, he's a...
So was Ned
Stark. He's an author favorite. John is unkillable. I'm going to say it. I'm putting my...
Putting your life on it?
That's correct.
Gonna have a hard time backpedaling away from that one.
He was feathered with arrows before, and still
it may happen. I'm just saying, if it does, he's gonna have to come up with some sort of plot twist to explain why it didn't happen.
There's some salves and ointments up in Maester Aemon's chambers.
On, man, it was. I don't want to go into detail about that. Scene
maybe
in the book,
maybe Melisandre will intervene. The power of R'hllor will because
she's still there in the book.
That's not bad.
Something like
that.
Yeah, not bad.
Children of the Forest could probably pull some kind of whammy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No whammies.
please whammies.
Yeah.
Pull a whammy. Any whammy.
Whammy.
Anything.
You lost all your money. You're going to get big bucks, but you got a whammy. So you're good.
When Sam gives John the dragon glass, he's like, I hope you don't have to use it. I was like, oh, I hope he has to use it.
Yeah.
I'm ready for another White Walker encounter.
But John already has a Valyrian steel sword, which...
Good point.
Which is...
Dragon steel. So it should work
the same
as... Is that going to
help him against...
It should work the same as Dragon Glass.
There's hard evidence to back that up?
There's speculation. Yep.
The Dragon steel is as good as the Dragon Glass?
Yeah.
To a blind man? Really? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
I don't remember that. I believe you, but...
It wasn't expressly said. They said, the thing I read said they believe it to be the same.
Right, because they call it dragon steel instead of, it's forged with the same stuff.
Imbued with the same magical properties.
It has the word dragon right in it.
Yeah, see?
Let's imbue this steel with the word dragon and we're good to go. No, it doesn't. It's Valyrian, whatever.
They got that dragon glass in Arizona.
That was a pretty big, like, was that like a spearhead? It was, like, huge.
That was a good size.
Yeah. Good chunk of dragon glass.
You can't miss with this. we touched on the Ramsay Sansa conversation, but then
that bastard.
You know, they kind of
kind of wrapped up quick too, didn't it?
Was that old Nan that they had strung up?
No.
So it was the lady who Brienne offered, talked to. Yeah, Sansa the...
You still have friends in the north.
Okay, that's friends right. in the north. Not that's the lady right. that Brienne talked to, but... Yeah.
We saw her flayed foot and her unflayed face.
Right. So, but that was, again, kind of quick, too. I mean, they set up the whole thing with, oh, Sansa's going to be able to light the candle and get some help, and... As soon as Reek shows up, Ramsay's
like,
already.
As soon as Littlefinger leaves, like, oh, she's completely helpless again. Lights a candle on the first night, basically.
Has Brienne just been watching that?
It would have been smarter.
Yeah.
Has Brienne just been watching that window the entire time, never taking her eyes off of it?
How is she in any more or less danger than she was from the very beginning? So what the hell is Brienne waiting for?
Brienne has a broken leg and a telescope or some binoculars.
Rear window?
Yeah.
I get your reference.
Wow.
Sorry, I haven't seen the classics.
Pod has to take some shifts too.
He'll screw it up.
Fucking Pod. He lost his stutter in the transition from page to screen.
That's right.
Right, right.
Sir, I mean, my lady.
Right.
It's a wrap.
My lady.
My lady.
We'll
be here all week.
All right.
What else?
Mm.
Littlefinger, did we talk about?
I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, I don't know. So what did Cersei, what did she know that was like, that Littlefinger had to come back and...
It's not at all clear. She sent for him, and when he arrived, she was like, "All right, what do you got to say?" And he was like, "Well, I found Sansa." And she's like, "What?"
That was from last week, right? Yeah.
And it's just like, "Oh, okay. So, is there anything else? You wrote me, bitch. What do you want?"
Yeah.
You know, and that whole scene with Lady Olenna, whatever she's saying, and Littlefinger being kind of. Littlefinger smug. He's always got that kind of smirk on his face. But he's not really... It's not clear how he's maneuvering anything to his advantage or...
Craig, be Littlefinger. Tell us how he's being.
I can't do it on command.
Oh, shit. Oh. By my command.
Explain, please. Littlefinger, are you doing?
He just wanted me to do the voice.
This conversation is just to... remind the audience that we conspired to kill Joffrey.
Yeah, that's probably the whole point of that whole scene.
And I know things, and I do things, and even though it doesn't make any sense, it's all by my design.
Smirk, smirk, smirk.
And a bunch of people fucked in this room. I mean, we built the set. We're getting the most out of it.
Plot exposition is no fun without whores fucking in the background.
There was something funny in the little Benioff and Weiss commentary portion after the episode.
Cersei.
Where one of them says something like, "Danny knows that this season things have to be this way." It's like, the characters aren't thinking in terms of seasons. You are. That's your head. That's you. She doesn't know that there's only so many episodes.
He means the season of winter.
Oh, right.
No, he doesn't.
No.
I can't have winter in the desert.
They're not talking about winter over on the where Daenerys is in Meereen. It's nice and warm over there all the time, right. Apparently.
Winter is not coming to Braavos.
Yeah, bring on the winter.
Well,
I don't have anything else.
Do we cover everything? What the hell? Nothing happened in this episode.
What about the whole
Reek
Sansa conversation, maybe? We didn't really touch on
Never that. Trust a Reek.
And she sure talked Reek into taking action on her behalf pretty easily.
Yeah.
He went right to Ramsay. Watching her be raped by her new husband didn't move him, but...
Rape.
A little, yeah, okay. Sorry.
Always with the rape.
Yeah.
Gilly almost got raped. Sansa's getting raped nightly, apparently.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It's no way to live.
No, it's less than desirable. I mean, wait, it's
no way to live.
Apprehensible.
Yeah,
it's, yeah.
Well, let's not stop on that note. Okay. Someone say something.
Thank God that I thought they might were gonna off Bronn for a second.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. I think you couldn't do that.
You could.
We don't really need him anymore.
No.
And in terms of what we know, things that have happened in the books.
He's probably my second most likable character, to go back to your favorite top two characters. We never really got any. I mean, I've offered up Jon Snow, the obvious one. Anybody like anybody else in this show?
Arya.
You like Jon Snow?
I like Jon and Danny are probably my favorites from the books. From the show, I don't know. I like Sam a lot, too.
Yeah.
I think Arya's my favorite in the book and the show. Just her storyline. Revenge.
Craig?
Well, I mean, favorite character by their actions. Mine is probably Davos. I just really like his what he does.
The cut of his jib?
Cut of his jib, yeah. I like the cut of his jib, damn it. But yeah, Arya.
Is that a nautical term?
Yeah.
I think it is.
What is that? What is a jib?
It's a sail.
Why do you cut it?
Here's some trivia. On Facebook, you know how everyone wants you to like their business
like their
or
jib.
Page or whatever. The only thing I like on Facebook is the cut of your jib. There's a page that's called that.
That's the only thing you like?
That's the only thing I like on Facebook is the cut of your jib. I refuse to like anything else.
What do you like about that?
No, you can look. Come on, man.
But who's
I didn't have to go on Facebook
to
look at
it. It's just a group called the cut of your jib.
He likes it just because of the play on words.
And it's the only thing I'll like.
Play on words.
All right, anyway, favorites.
All right, yeah, you have faithfully expressed your favoritism for Davos.
Every time.
Many a time.
Yep.
And Arya is Mike's. Jon Snow is Chris's. Yeah, I mean.
Jon and Danny for you.
Maybe, is it Tyrion ultimately that is my favorite?
You know, Tyrion.
I forgot about him. Yeah. I like Tyrion on both the show and the book. His storylines are
pretty
good. I wonder how many non-benevolent things he did prior to the series. Like, how long has he been a motherfucker, you know? He hasn't been terrible since the show started.
He never does anything overtly bad to anyone who doesn't deserve it.
Right.
He's good. He's a good guy.
He's good.
In fact, that was the best season, I think, of Game of Thrones, where Tyrion's the Hand. He's basically the main character for that season.
That
was the strongest season, hands down.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Hands down your pants.
No pun intended. Hands down on your dwarf cock.
It's magic.
How's that for a waveform? Dwarf cock.
Decent. Oh.
Larger than I thought.
We still talking about waveforms?
Nope. Dwarf cocks.
Dwarf cocks.
A dwarf lives until we find a waveform merchant. What an audacious comment. Because we're using Audacity to record the podcast, and we're looking at the waveform as we... Hey, everybody.
All right. I think we're done. It's been fun.
We're done here. Are we done here?
Three more eps.
Three more.
This season, and then a bevy of...
I don't have a book to read before next season.
None of us do.
Well, aren't there some pre-release chapters of the next one?
Yeah, I've read most of them.
Oh, you've read them already?
There's an Arya chapter. There's a... Is it a Stannis or a Theon chapter?
There's a Theon chapter.
And...
Theon. Two Tyrion chapters, two Barristan chapters, two Arianne chapters.
Is it a Theon chapter or a Reek chapter?
Oh, there's that many?
Yeah.
There's multiple...
A Barristan chapter?
Yeah.
Well, there's... Jesus. I haven't read all those.
Safe to say that's not going to happen next
Neither
season.
Neither have I. They're kind of tough to find at this point.
Yeah,
they're not all on.
He only
his
has
website.
One up at a time. All right.
Oh, he puts them up and then takes them down.
He has one preview chapter available on his website at a time.
What a cock!
What a dwarf
what
cock!
A dwarf cock.
George R.R. Martin is in Kansas City this weekend at the Kansas City Comic Con.
He might be reading like a chapter,
wasting his
out
time.
Loud.
Yeah, tell him to get the
and
fuck
wasting
home and
our
write
time.
A book.
We should have all been there.
To insult like, him to his face.
Yeah.
Where's you the lazy asshole. Write a book.
We should have pulled a Misery on him.
Break his ankles.
Time to hobble him.
Hobble him.
That movie's so good.
Yeah, maybe if he's bedridden, he'll finish this epic. Maybe.
What's the weird sort of non-profanity thing that... That his in Misery, like Kathy Bates' character is like, it's not like duty head, but she's right. like something. Anyway.
I haven't seen that movie in probably like 20 years. So.
Quit so your sure. duty head pussy footing around and write some fucking quality
pages.
Yeah, and you better make them good.
Do we even have a release date for Winds of Winter?
No, there's never a release date.
Never? He doesn't? He just he drops it off on the doorstep of the publisher one morning?
On his, like, there's a page, sort of a disclaimer on his website that says, look, I've done this in the past, and it's burned me every time, so I'm no longer announcing a release date. The book is done when it's done, and you'll be the first to know when it's done.
Now stop asking.
Because I got football to watch and I got cons to attend.
Oh, man.
And I got some fucking fried foods to eat.
Does he bring his laptop with MS-DOS on it so we can write over his...
WordStar.
WordStar, is that what it is?
I think it might be.
WorldStar.
Word processor or superhero? You tell me.
Both?
Alright, well, that's it. We're done.
We're done, bitching.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.